Welcome to the Rediscovering Biblical Manhood podcast. We're growing men who fear the Lord, but do not fear our identity in Christ. The enemy is hard at work in our fallen world. So come on, join us in fighting for the restoration of men's hearts through the church, the word, and our risen Savior, Jesus. J. Teresi, March 22, 2024. We are here already.
I can't believe it. This is like, where is the time going? A quarter into the year already? I never even thought I'd see 2024. That's not a number I could have imagined in the 80s. And now here we are.
Ludicrous speed. Well, listeners, we're jumping into a new episode, new topic, all around something that happened to me this week. And Jay has no idea what's coming at him. So this is one of those episodes, which I love because I haven't prepped him a whole lot to actually speak to the biblical side of things. And so for those of you that have got children, for those of you that were once a child and were involved in whether it was playing a board game, reading a book, being coached on the sporting field, Jay, did you ever have a coach turn to you and say, come on, Jay, don't quit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. definitely, especially because when I was younger, it was easy for me to get down on my play and want to tap out.
So to you, what does that mean? When we say that as a coach to a child or a student, what does don't quit mean?
Well, for me as a father and someone who's coached people, for me, it was always this underlying idea of one, trying to build character in the person, two, trying to sow in the idea that things can get better. I mean, these are all pretty subtle. And three, trying to help them find who they are. Identity, like you are better than this. And when you quit, you don't get an opportunity to test yourself, to feel yourself out, to find out who you really are.
Building that grit, that tenacity, those generational words, right? That we have several examples, and I'm sure many of the listeners do as well. So when you think quit, Jay, do you see when somebody quits something, is that negative? So like, let's pretend and we've all seen that movie, or hopefully most of the folks listening have seen that movie, Facing Giants, where the coach is pulling that linebacker, you know, an extra 10 yards. Don't quit, slam in the ground. Keep going. You can make it. Do you see quitting, therefore, Jay, as something that is negative when we quit something?
Wow, that's a great question.
It's not a loaded question. It's just, hopefully there's a binary answer there.
I love that movie clip. For those of you that have not seen that from the movie Facing the Giants, it's worth YouTube to watch it. I haven't watched it in a while, but I really do like that clip. And I have a confession to make. I was a tremendous quitter for a large part of my life up until my early 20s. I really quit almost everything I did because I would just get discouraged. Walk off. So I do think there's, not in every case, but in most cases, I don't think quitting is a good thing.
Most cases, right? But then on the flip side, there are times where we are encouraging people to quit, whether it be addictions, whether it be unhealthy habits, whether it be unhealthy activities that we are involved in, or even unhealthy people in our lives too. I had that conversation with the person yesterday. And so there are two sides to it. Today, I want us to lean more on the you've got it in you, don't quit there, versus, hey, smoking may be bad for you. Maybe you should quit that behavior, right? So if we lean into the you've got it in you piece and we flip it now onto the spiritual side, what are some areas of your spiritual walk, Jay, that you would say, hey, it would be easy for me to quit, but I've stuck with it? Or I didn't stick with something because it was easy to quit.
I got a lot of examples of the latter. And as I get older, one of the things, I've been struggling with this for a couple of years, actually, because what I've discovered about myself is I don't like to be uncomfortable. That's probably not a big discovery. Who likes to be uncomfortable? But I've noticed I have a tendency to, I want to pull the ripcord right away when things aren't going the way I think they should be going. And what I've never really been good at, and I'm working hard on, is asking Jesus, am I supposed to quit? Am I allowed to quit? am I here for a reason? So I think for me personally, I quit a lot of things as soon as things weren't going my way. Or if I thought somebody was slighting me, like I was giving it my all. I always give it my all. That's who I am. But I have noticed this tendency of as soon as it's not going my way, I start getting negative. Things going to end badly. I'm wasting my time. I'm just going to go do something else. I love fresh starts. I've also learned that about myself. I love the idea of something new. But what I've increasingly come to discover is the Lord is like, you need to stay. This is what the potter's wheel is about. So you can see my miracles. So you can see me move. When I look back on my life, the Lord has moved in my life, but usually it's in spite of me, not because I've given him room to move. And generally he's moved after I've really been in his way the whole time and exhausted myself. And then when I can't move anymore, he's like, okay, I can move now. But that's not how it's supposed to be. If I could learn to trust him in struggle, I think I would grow mightily. And that's not something I've been willing to do.
Curious. I wouldn't see you as, or I don't think I've seen you as a person that quits something that you just started often. I see you as an architect and as an engineer of people as well as processes and big things, you know. So it surprises me to hear you say that you often quit or have the mentality that, hey, I want to pull the ripcord.
I used to quit and actually leave when I was younger. I've learned to stay in it now, to your point, but it's the internal dialogue, right? Every day I'm toying with the idea of quitting and leaving and wanting to get out and thinking it's not going to go well. And to your point, the spiritual maturity that I lack is having joy in that uncomfortable pain and trusting, you know what, Lord, this is all going to work out. You're going to teach me something through it. And asking Jesus every day, what is it you have for me? Stay, go. And having a point of view that says, I won't leave anything until the Lord releases me. Whether it's because if we are in Christ, right? We talked about that a lot here. And I happen to be going through Romans right now, to your point about quitting certain things that aren't good for you and embracing things that are good for you. But the message of the Bible, as I read it, is seek me first and I'll give you direction. And if we all did that in our lives in relation to everything, should I quit smoking? Should I stay in this job? Should I stay in this relationship? The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, lives in you and he'll give you an answer. I just think we probably don't ask him that often.
The genesis of this conversation began with my youngest daughter. Earlier, I think it was last week or maybe at the end, tail end of last week, we were talking about reading the Bible, and her and I have been going back and forth probably over the last 3 years with the little Bible app that we have on our phone. So they've done an incredible job in developing that where you can now almost not compete against other people, but compete against yourself. And so you can watch or build what they call streaks. Right. So if I read it 3 days in a row, I'm on a streak of 3 days. But it also then counts the weeks. Right. And so for some reason, the Bible app has stalled out for me at like 170 weeks in a row, and it just never grows any further. So internally for me, my motivation now is not as full on as it used to be to try and keep that up. And I asked her, because I think my maximum days in a row was around 500, which was actually something I got proud about, which was weird. And then I still remember the day that I missed it and how mad I was the next morning. I asked her the same because she was at like 270. And she goes, Daddy, I slept in one day out of routine and just forgot. And then 270 days down the toilet. So I haven't tried again. And so that led to this discussion of, huh, so are you quitting reading the Bible? You know, are you quitting this campaign to build something cool for yourself? But it's actually developing yourself as well. And so we had this really cool back and forth, I felt, and just was very surprised at how mature she was in her thinking as to when a thing's okay to quit. She turned the corner and said, but isn't that of man's works if you're trying to compete in that way? And you just think, listeners right now, how many things do we do daily here on this earth that we're really doing it for our spirit on the earth versus asking ourselves whether it's in God's will? And then here's the big kicker, Jay, that I've been holding on to all week. Did Jesus quit?
Oh, what a great question. The answer to that is unequivocally no, because he had a mission and it had different waypoints. I think my challenge is I often live my life according to the book of Jay. And so I'm setting
the agenda. Oh, you got one of them too, do you?
I do. I want to go back to a big concept. It's something I've really been wrestling with. Once we become a believer, the idea is that whatever we had planned for our life isn't the point anymore. And we're just on mission. See, Jesus was on mission. He said, I am about my Father's work. Every step I'm going to take has been designed by my Father for a purpose, on purpose. And I'm staying on that mission. And so actually, he did the opposite of quitting. He could have quit and not gone to the cross. He could have quit and not ever shown anybody who he was. He could have quit and said yes to the devil. You know what? I will take all the kingdoms of the world. Thanks for the offer. And I'll take you too, buddy. Right? Like Jesus had free will just like we do. Has free will just like we do. But he said, I have submitted my free will and married it into the will of the Father, who now guides my steps. And that is what we're supposed to do. By the way, it's what we're warned about. You can try to plan your own way, but the Lord's going to alter it one way or another in accordance with the plan he's got for all of humanity. You're a piece of it. I think the challenge is, and certainly our culture drives it, we are taught to be the center of the story, and we forget that the story is not centered around us.
When Jesus was on the cross and he looked to the skies and he took a deep breath, he said, to you, I commend my spirit. That was the discussion point. Was that at that point, did he quit? And I love the word you used there, which was submit instead of quit, submitting to the will of the Father versus just giving up here on earth on the cross, which was the discussion from my high school daughter. Jay, I really like that word there, because I think that that's key when we're starting to look at our spiritual walk, this idea of submission, and even just the thought of Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, you know, sent his Holy Spirit. And the Spirit now that lives within us as chosen believers of Jesus Christ, that Spirit is in us to convict us, right? Convict us that it's not our job to rub other people's noses or judge other people's behaviors because of their sin, but it's the one that brings us almost like a heavenly guilt when we've sinned to awaken us to continue to walk towards the will versus continue in the way of the world.
Yeah, and if we bring it back to biblical manhood, you were just sort of talking about the beginning part of Romans, which was don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you can know God's will for your life. Well, what an amazing passage of scripture. The idea being that God has a plan for you, and it's probably not, for most of us, what we're doing. Some people have found their plan and they're living on it. Some people are like, I don't want to find God's plan because I like my plan. It's comfortable. It's warm. It's a snuggy blanket. But what I'm coming to learn and really trying to learn as a man who wants to fully walk in my identity in Christ is it doesn't matter really what's happening to me. Maybe I lost my job. Maybe I'm struggling with this, that, whatever. God, what do you want me to do with this? How is this part of my mission? And who am I here to help and serve? Because that is all of our mission. We are designed like our Father, and our Father is servant. Jesus said, I came to serve, not be served. That would be the wrong way to say it. If I allow Christ to do his work through me, submit my desires for some small win here on earth that I think is important, career, material items, whatever it is, and go, I don't really care. What is it you want me to do right this second? Who can I help? That was Paul's point. I've been rich. I've been poor. I've been healthy. I've been beaten. I've been with a house, without a house. It doesn't matter. I have the joy of the Lord because I am 100% on mission and I'm allowing the Lord to guide my steps. And it's a wild story. And when I look back, it's going to be an awesome story, totally unlike anything that I could have planned for myself.
You and I have spoken offline as well as online how busy we've created ourselves to be. If I was to choose one place where I wanted to quit something, what would that quit be? What would I drop? What would I put down? And so I'm just thinking of tangible steps, Jay, as we explore this idea of quitting. This week, what could a listener do to put something down so that they can pick up more time to find their will and step within their walk?
Well, I'm just going to say what we all know is true. We are, most likely everybody hearing this, is living at full tilt. Quote unquote, too busy. Quote unquote, slammed to the max. And it's probably true. And even inside of that, because of the very nature of its design, you're probably burning a couple hours on the phone. Scrolling, binge watching, I don't care. Whatever it is, how you escape. If you carved back 90% of your escape time, I suspect it would total at least 60 minutes. And if you said, I'm going to use that for prayer, connection to the Holy Spirit, scripture, whatever, and it might happen 15 times throughout the day, which is even better, by the way, scripturally, to be checking in with the Lord all day. That's where we can all get it. And I know we can all get it.
Amen.
Because it's just there.
You know, another thing I was thinking about as you were saying that, as I think back through the Bible and, you know, I have these visual moments of going to that series, The Chosen, right now, watching the disciples. How many times throughout the walk with Jesus, the 3 years of ministry there, how many times and who and what moments did they quit? Like when Simon Peter was walking on water with Jesus and he lost faith, was that a moment of quitting? When Judas took his life because of what he did for betraying Jesus, was that a form of quitting? You even think to Mary when there were moments where she doubted. I would challenge our listeners this week, as you read, like look for those moments because they were just as human as you and I. And still look at what happened. I mean, post Jesus's ascension. I mean, they went out and started the calling for us all to go make disciples of all nations with that Spirit, with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, Chica, I agree. I think those are great examples. I think the other thing that's a great example is how they all responded to that, which was, come right back, come right back, come right back. Jesus says, when you quit, come right back. I'll be right here and we'll pick right up where we left off and keep moving forward. And I think that's the advantage believers have that non-believers don't, which is we get the same feelings, emotions, temptations, we commit the same sins. But we have a moment where we can go, nope, whoa, got to get back in the seat. I ejected on accident. Sorry, Lord, I'm back. Here's the wheel. Let's go. So as we turn the corner on this episode, here's the challenge for the week. Every moment you want to go scroll, open Netflix, open whatever video thing you use, click on the news. What if you just pause for a moment and said, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me right now before I do this? Is there anything you want to connect on? Is there anything you want to tell me? That would be a great challenge. I'm going to take that challenge this week. And every time I reach for my phone, I'm going to let that be a trigger to reach for the Lord. And I'm curious to see what happens. And I will report back.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for our listeners, Lord. We ask that you cover them as they walk with you this week. Lord, we just ask for a breath and a pause to put down our devices, to put down our busyness, and just be with you. Lord, we ask that as we walk with you this week, that you can uncover and unveil maybe moments or behaviors that we do need to put down forever so that we can be closer to you. And Lord, we just ask that you shine a light on the will with our walk with you this week. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.